states in between. Joel Kotkin is been described by the New York Times as America's Uber geographer. He's an internationally recognized authority on global economic, political, and social trends. His latest book is called The Coming of Neo-Feudalism, A Warning to the Global Middle Class. We've talked about it several times on the MedEd Show. Joel Kotkin joins us. He has written a new piece about a tale of two Americas. Red states are growing while blue states are mired in lawlessness and decline that appeared over in Spiked. What about the swing states, the famous purple states, states like Pennsylvania, which got so much attention, or states like Michigan or Wisconsin? Where do they fit in this tale of two Americas, Joel? What about the states that are in between, that swing from red to blue and back again, which is an increasing number of states, especially since states like Georgia and Arizona, which are both pretty economically prosperous states, right? Those states used to be overwhelmingly red, but now they're more in between, aren't they?
Well, I think it all depends on the kind of, if you will, the kind of red you are. You know, for instance, I think if you take a look at DeSantis, you have obviously Youngkin in Virginia, you have Kemp in Georgia, you have Abbott in Texas. And even though these people are conservatives and take unpopular conservative positions sometimes on, let's say, abortion or guns, you know, not necessarily winners, but they are competent and they clearly have respect for the Constitution and they're not complete and total egomaniacs. And so when you are, so for those states, many of those states that you mentioned, Georgia, for instance, states that are like Arizona, which, you know, do tend to be more purplish, good, solid, a solid, sensible Republican conservative would probably win 40 to 45 states. I also think you have to look at the congressional districts, which obviously we're now looking at very closely. And even in New York State and California, there are quite a few districts, particularly suburbs, exurbs, rural areas, that actually became, you know, somewhat more Republican. So, you know, it's a very mixed picture. I think if you take out the abortion decision, which, you know, obviously you can't, and if somehow Donald Trump would be transported to a different planet, I think the Republicans would do great.
I don't know if you saw Nate Cohn's piece today in the New York Times, but he was talking about how it was really two different elections, and because for a bunch of states, including some of the states like Ohio, where Republicans, yes, did very well this time. I mean, particularly Governor DeWine. I mean, he won by 26 points. It was a landslide, but that in states where there wasn't a hot issue of abortion, a real fear that the legislature was going to immediately impose all kinds of restrictions on abortion, and states where the Republican candidates did not emphasize the stolen election narrative, those two things, what people perceived as the attack on democracy and democratic function, and what people saw as an assault on what some people consider a basic human right, which is the right to abortion, that in the states where those weren't issues, Republicans, as you said, cleaned up. They dominated. Do you buy that logic?
Yeah, I think that's you know, part and parcel, really, a very parallel to what I did in the red states piece. In other words, that where Republican governance has been good and has not created terrible strains, I think they've done very well. I mean, but let's face it, if Governor Ducey had run in Arizona, he would have won easily. If Kemp had run for the Senate in Georgia, he would have won easily. I mean, this was there was no reason how Fetterman. How do you lose
to Fetterman, right?
Fetterman because you run a terrible candidate. That's how you lose.
You know what? I was just reading a piece in The Hill where they did an analysis of the youth vote. Fetterman would have lost in a landslide if it hadn't been for voters under 30. And he got 70% of all voters under 30. So what is his special appeal to young people? I mean, I don't know. He seems like the kind of guy who's spending a lot of time in somebody's basement playing video games or something. But, okay, let me go back to this question, this basic question about the two Americas that you're writing about. And I'm speaking to Joel Kotkin. What do you say to the people who say, when you look at statistics on health that are accepted statistics from the Centers for Disease Control and the National Institutes of Health, virtually all of the states with the lowest life expectancy and the worst health statistics are red states. Almost all of them. And predominantly they're red states in the South. How do you explain that?
Well, the first of all, the South has a burden of history, which, by the way, has a lot to do with the fact that both poor African Americans stayed there, and poor African Americans have really not good health numbers, and you have a lot of poor whites too. So, the South has a legacy. You have red states like North Dakota doesn't have this problem. Iowa doesn't have this problem. There are red states where people do quite well. The big thing with some of the blue states is, what's odd is, A, they tend to have, some of them have very small minority populations, like Portland.
So Vermont. Vermont would be a good example. It's the bluest of blue states.
Right, and these are states where, most of the people are affluent, most of them are white, or in the case of, let's say, Washington State, they're white or they're Asian. So I think I just don't see where you can, you can make that argument. I mean, in other words, states.
What about crime rates? Do you say the same thing? Because, again, when you look at big cities, virtually all big cities are run by Democrats and they have very high crime rates. But in terms of states, there's no pattern that says that red states have lower crime rates than blue states.
No, I think that's true. I mean, that may very well be the case. The problem is the concentrated crime problem we worry about. Of course, it all depends what you're measuring, but the concentrated crime problem. The problem that we worry about is when we go to Chicago and we want to take a walk around the block. I'm not worried about maybe I'm going to go to some, little backward town in the South where everybody's carrying bazookas and maybe I'll get hit. I mean, this is, that's not what worries me, and that's not what worries voters. And, the bottom line is, big cities have high crime rates, and it doesn't really matter whether you're in a red state or a blue state, particularly because in most of the big cities, in the South, the Democrats are overwhelmingly in power.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. Joel Kotkin, his latest piece, A Tale of Two Americas. We will be right back. Joe Biden spoke today. He was speaking to an assemblage of Democrats sponsored by the Democratic National Committee and speaking about love and harmony and post-election, actually trying to do some of what he has failed to do in his first 2 years as president, which is to unite the country, heal the soul of America, all of that. That kind of rhetoric is back And the president actually, I think, trying to construe what just happened in this very intense election, was where there was very high participation, particularly from young people. In any event, the president talked about working together with the opposition party. And given the fact that Congress is going to be, regardless of how these unsettled elections come out, is going to be very divided. There will not be a clear Republican majority in either house. There will not be a clear, decisive Democratic majority in either house. It's going to be right on the line again. So it makes sense, at least, that the president would make some moves in the direction of, okay, let's try to do things together. Here is the president of the United States, clip five.
I also think the American people sent a message that they want us to work together. I've always done that. I know I got criticized for it when I ran. I said I was running for three reasons. One, to restore the soul of America. Two, to build this economy from the middle out and the bottom up. And thirdly, to unite the country. Regardless of what the final tally showed, I'm prepared to work with Republicans. But the American people have made it clear. They expect Republicans to work with me as well.
Okay. Do the American people prefer actually having our two parties work together? Sure. Kamala Harris actually viewed this as election as a deliverance from some kind of apocalyptic end of the world threat. Here is Vice President Harris.
Our democracy is intact.
Yeah. Hooray for
and
that.
Democracy is intact. This is what it looks like. And here's the thing. Some Democrats won and some Republicans won. That is what happens when more than 100 million Americans participate and vote in free and fair and open elections. And the people in this room and around our country made that possible by standing up for basic American values.
Okay, when have we not had Vice President Harris, free and fair and open elections? Was the election that elected you free and fair and open? Was the election that elected President Trump in 2016 free and fair and open? The answer is yes, we have free and fair and open elections. And the idea that principle was threatened, was somehow at risk. Look, you can say whatever you want about the American system of elections and of politics, but for a long time, for the entire history of the Republic, it hasn't always delivered the best possible winners for a contested election, but the entire thing functions pretty well. And this can be sensitive to what the American people want, which is why you find the case every election. Some Democrats win, some Republicans win. Even the most notable sweeps still have winners for the other side and for the other party. And again, we've never had anything close to a 100% majority in the House or the Senate. Pat Toomey, who was a Republican senator from Pennsylvania, he's the senator who will be replaced. Heaven help us all. And the worst outcome of all in the election this week, Pat Toomey, who was a thoughtful, constructive, and really public-spirited, outstanding mainstream Republican senator, will be replaced by John Fetterman, who is none of those things. And I'm not even sure that John Fetterman, maybe I'll have to start his own caucus in the Senate of the United States. But Pat Toomey speaks about the electoral outcomes, which did not amount to a red wave. Here's Senator Toomey.
first of all, let me be very clear. I think Dr. Oz ran a very good campaign. I actually think he was a very good candidate in a lot of ways. The question that I think arises is, why did a good candidate running a good race in what should be a very good environment not prevail in a state like Pennsylvania, which is very, very competitive, always close, or almost always close? And I think a big part of the reason was that at the top of the ticket in the gubernatorial race, we had an ultra-MAGA candidate who never appeared to even attempt to expand beyond a hardcore base that was very, very committed to him. But he ended up losing in an epic beatdown.
Yeah,
epic. And it's very, very hard for candidates who are down ballot. And Dr. Oz, you know, so our gubernatorial Republican lost by like 14 points. Dr. Oz kept his race to within 3. It's really hard when that's what's happening. By the way, we had 3 House seats that I thought we had a very good chance of picking up in Pennsylvania. We lost all 3 of those. And again, I think it was a combination of a real problem at the top of the ticket, but also President Trump inserting himself into the race. He came to Pennsylvania, you know, late. I think it was the Saturday before the election.
He rallied with Oz multiple times.
It was never going to be helpful.
Okay, and never going to be helpful because the entire theme that President Trump was advancing, which was the theme of the stolen election and overturning the election results from 2020, never, ever, ever, ever explained how that was going to happen in 2023, which is coming right up. But the Nate Cohn made the point in the New York Times that one of the reasons that Republicans did very, very badly in places is when there was an emphasis on the stolen election narrative. And the gubernatorial candidate that Pat Toomey was talking about, whose name was Doug Mastriano, that Mastriano had been there on January 6th. He was actually had gone to Washington to the Stop the Steal movement, and he was very committed to overturning the election. What's fascinating is they just did an Associated Press poll of 94,000 voters all across the country, all 50 states, 94,000 voters, representative group. It found that 44% of them said the primary issue for deciding their vote was not abortion and it was not inflation, it was not immigration, it was defending democracy. And a lot of us, and myself included, sort of derided President Biden when he emphasized that defending democracy theme. But I think that the truth is that where it was on the ballot, because you had people who were running, and even if it wasn't Dr. Oz, who never made a big deal of the stolen election narrative, when you have someone like a senator, who's former state senator, Mastriano, who emphasized that, well, and people voted against it. That 44%, that was, by the way, 56% of Democrats, 34% of Republicans thought that defending democracy was the reason that they voted. We also have a little bit of a hint of some of the bitterness that is going to come out in the election for the nomination of the Republican Party. There will be a battle for the nomination of the Republican Party. I think it's very clear and should be abundantly clear because of the election results and how well Governor DeSantis did in particular, that Donald Trump is not going to have a coronation. He is not going to be immediately selected. And I know that the third-ranking Republican in the House, Elise Stefanik of New York, has gone very early, and she's endorsed President Trump for the nomination of the party. But it's going to be contested and in a very spirited fashion. What are the American people really thinking, and what will really decide that struggle? We'll talk to Dr. Frank Luntz coming up in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.